BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston joined this week by Billy Jaffe as we get you ready for Game 7 between the Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes coming up at 4:30 today. We'll get to your calls here in this hour at 617-779-0985.
Pre-game at 4 o'clock here on 98.5, and we start at 3:30 on Nesson for a full hour pregame. So again,
always putting in the extra time.
Get everything done, man. Get it all done and get ready. Hey, two things I'd love to quickly touch on before we get going. I know we got a couple of calls and we're going to talk. But two things. One, I want to send a great, big, huge shout out to George, little George from Waltham, fighting cancer. And the little guy, I'm told, is a crazy Bees fan. So we're thinking of you. We're rooting for you. And we know that you're rooting for your favorite team, the Boston Bruins, George. So good luck with everything, buddy, and hang in there, kick some ass, and hopefully your Bruins kick some ass as well. The other thing I just wanted to quickly mention, coming up on Monday, the second annual A.J. Cueta golf outing, the Invitational, it's happening this coming Monday. I'm hoping the weather holds out, R.J. It's supposed to be nice, warm, but getting to be a little bit rain in the forecast regardless. They had an amazing year last year, and they're doing it, you know, second annual this year. And if you go to AJsArmy.com, they're accepting some donations there too. It's a great cause, helping out AJ Cueta with his recovery, rehab, etc. So looking forward to being there playing in that, but also if anybody is able, if there's anything that you can do, AJsArmy.com. Really a great cause. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. All right, getting ready for Game 7 today. And we've talked to Judd and Bob over the course of the first hour. We're going to talk to you in this second hour and get your thoughts on the matchup today and what you expect. We'll talk a little bit more about what goes into this game as far as the lineups and the matchups and things like that. But we're here to take your thoughts. Let's go to Rick in Plymouth up first. Hey, Rick.
How you doing, guys? Great day for Boston sports. It's a shame I'm only going to be able to catch about the third period of the Bruins game.
Cancel your appointments. What are we doing? It's game seven.
Dude, I just got out of work. I'm headed home. I got to be on the field to umpire a Cal Ripken 12 game at 1 and a 4:30 local Little League game at 4:30.
Now here's a suggestion. Everything's a strike. Hey, that's a strike.
Oh God, yes.
Let me just throw this out there. Just
an ear. I got the Angel Hernandez strike thing going today, guys. Yes, I'm telling you.
Yes. One earbud with the stream with Judd and Bob. You know, keep you into the game.
Yeah, and if you really are creative and you're good, have your phone on.
I got the Bruins for three reasons. One, I believe in karma. In 2011. We played Vancouver. Every home team won except for games seven. We're going to be the road team today. I think we're going to pull it off. I think we're going to be the only road team to win today. Two, Tuukka Rask is not the goaltender today. Thank God. We got Jeremy Swayman in net. He's going to pull a Patrick Waugh-like performance. He's going to bring it home to us. We're going to go on to the next round. And number three, we're going to win this one for George in cancer. He gave me the third reason 2 seconds ago.
Love it.
I appreciate the call, Rick.
I'll just talk about the first one just as a comparison, because this is the first road game seven since then, and everybody remembers the amazing result that happened in 11. It was awesome being there. I was covering it for the NHL Network. What a crazy scene, both on the ice and then getting home.
Right.
The fires burning throughout the city of Vancouver. Regardless, I digress. That series was different, though, with regard to home. I know it was three home wins for each squad, but there was nowhere near as Jekyll and Hyde dominance, you know, or distinct game styles that we see in this series. It was, if I remember correct, it was 2-1-0 games in Van and a 4-3 game, I believe, in overtime before the Bruins won 4-0 in game seven. And the Bruins, now they did kick ass at home. I think they won one game 8-1 or 8-2, something like that, something crazy. They dominated. But if you also want to play the odds, I mean, eventually somebody's got to win on the road this series, right? Eventually it's got to happen. I like the positive thinking, and especially the last one, the number three for George.
I'm kind of in that boat, too, that I feel like it would be and I'm sure it's happened over the course of history plenty of times, but it feels like an anomaly to go through a seven-game series and not have a single team win on the road. I mean, it just – and maybe I'm looking for things. And
A little bit. It's happened more than we probably realize.
Sure.
And I'm sure, you know, the NHL, I don't know if you get them. They have a great thing, the daily face-off thing that they send out overnight. I'm sure it's had it in there. It may even have it in there today. I didn't get a chance to look at it in depth, but I don't know. I mean, I'm going to reach out to my buddies over at the NHL Network who have every minutia type stat there is. And I'll see where we're at. But it's had to have happened more than we realize.
And we talked a little bit about, you know, the goalie matchup at the outset of the game. But I do have confidence in Swayman. I do. You know, that was the other point that the caller brought up is, you know, he hasn't been perfect, but he's been good when you've needed him to be. And I don't think he gets rattled in a game seven situation. We really haven't seen that from him. He got here.
One game that I know that stands out where he was definitely overtly nervous. The Toronto game, where Toronto got off to a really good start. The Bruins came back in the third period. I believe it was 6-4 they finally made it. Remember, but they got dominated the first two periods. And if I remember correct, Jeremy was not himself. He was not calm there. And that was a learning experience. He took it. That's what encourages me. This is a fast or a quick study. This goaltender, this youngster has learned things and worked at them both mentally and physically, and has had good success quickly from that.
And listen, it's clear that Bruce Cassidy has confidence in him, right? I mean, you got down 0-2 in this series, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like it was Linus Ullmark's fault. In fact, Bruce Cassidy made it a point to say it wasn't his fault. But he went to the kid anyway.
Right.
Right? In a must-win situation, coming home in game three, where you know it's like if you get off to a bad start here, our season's coming to an end pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But
he had used him during the year. Each goalie played over 40.
Sure.
So it wasn't like this was a Hail Mary. You know, this wasn't let's see if we can catch a backup goalie. And, you know, this was we've used you. This is the better scenario to put you in here.
617-779-0985. Chip in Manchester is up next on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Good morning, Chip.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me on. First time, long time. Just a little history on this date for the Bruins. Going back to 1974, they're only 2-8 on this day, and unfortunately 1-4 in game sevens, which is heartbreaking because today is my birthday and they lose on game seven every time it's my birthday. So a little nervous today, hoping they can come through for
what was the one game they won? Take the positive, at least another 1-5.
I'm sorry, yeah, no, I know, right?
I mean,
2019, they beat the Hurricanes, fortunately, but this is also the day they dropped that Flyers series 4-3 when they were up 3-0 in the first.
Yeah, I did that game for Versus. Remember that?
Yes, heartbreaking day, though. Heartbreaking day.
All right. Appreciate the call, Chip.
That's positive.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Happy birthday. Really?
I'll give you another one. Yeah. And
is this good or bad?
This is, I think this is very good. And I have to let me. I'm looking this up to credit. Give proper credit.
I thought I was bummer. Chip is not even living up to his name.
I saw this via Twitter from Boston Radio and Ty Anderson.
Okay.
25 years ago today, Barbie Girl was released.
Oh,
Pasternak, Hattie today. It's got to be right. This is David Pasternak's kind of day.
I'm not getting greedy. I will just take one. I'll take the GWG.
Nah, he's. I'm going two plus the empty netter to seal the series.
Okay,
right. That'll give him the hat trick.
I like it.
Greg is in Stowe. You're up next on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to touch on the possibility of perhaps dressing a seventh defenseman. I don't want to pull anyone off the ice like Nick Foligno, but given it's a game seven where defense is paramount, just wanted your thoughts on that. Thanks.
We actually discussed that on Razor and I did a morning brew, and I don't see it happening because we don't see it happening. We actually thought maybe earlier in the series, but not in a game seven where, I don't know, unless something's happening that we don't know with one of the other defensemen. It does throw a lot of, I get why the question has been asked. And again, we discussed it, but this isn't a team that uses it regularly. For instance, a team like Tampa has gone to it in their past, the last couple of years. They've done it this year. They've done it other times. So there's a rhythm for the players or a familiarity. There's a familiarity for the coaches because, believe it or not, that can throw off coaches too. And next thing you know, you can lose a guy or two who are just sitting over there, and now you've completely put them into the netherworld, so to speak, over there. They get caught in the abyss of the bench, and I just don't. Again, unless something is gone on, I don't see it happening for this one. I think they're going to go with what they've done 99.9% of the time this year. If I should have gone through my lineup book. Did they do it once this year where they went 11-7? They may have done it once.
If there, and it might have been there was a reason for it. Like you had a guy who
COVID stuff,
was banged up or was questionable, and so let's dress an extra D just in case.
Yeah, so we don't get stuck with five here. I legit get the question. I don't see it happening. No.
Let's talk a little bit about on the other side. Let's kind of visit that, and not necessarily about the 7D, because it doesn't appear that they have any thoughts of that being the case. But I want to talk a little bit about the lineup. You talked about in the first hour a little bit about Trent Frederick. I want to talk about Matt Grizzlick in this series, and the lineup that it appears they are going to put out on the ice today, and whether there would be any tinkering if you had your way. So we'll get to that coming up next. 617-779-0985. It's Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe with you here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
If you really love hockey, this is your show.
The Shaws!
The Shaws. and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, this is what you play for. Guys should be excited. You know, Game 7 Stanley Cup playoffs, home or road. You know, we'd rather be at home, not going to lie to you, but play where we'd play them on Mars if we had to. I think right now, we just want to get after it. I mean, that's what it's all about, and I'm sure they'd say the same thing. I know they're disappointed now, but a Game 7 tomorrow morning, they wake up, they're going to be excited to play it, as it should be. Should be a great game.
Back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, we can confirm today's game not being played on Mars. Although I would be interested to see that. Who knows? Maybe we're sitting here in 20, 30 years talking about the first Game 7 in Mars history.
It's going to happen.
Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe here with you. 617-779-0985. All right, I want to talk a little bit of lineup stuff here with the Bruins. Is, you know, some of this has come up along the way here already, but you brought up during our conversations with Judd and Bob in the first hour, Billy, Trent Frederick. And yeah. He got sat down for a few games in this series, had some penalty problems, as has been the case with him. Like, I mean, listen, I think when he's good, he can be an effective player and can give you some of that physicality that you need. But if he's taking bad penalties at bad times, you know, we've seen him get benched, and we've seen Bruce Cassidy, you know, bench him in game. We've seen him take him out of the lineup, which he did for three games. He puts him back in game six. And, you know, Beersey mentioned he didn't really have that much of a problem with the penalty that he took in game six, just because of, you know, kind of what's led up to it. But I wouldn't lie. I'm not going to lie and tell you I'm not a little nervous having him in there in game seven, where you would expect that the officials hopefully let the guys play and let the guys decide it. But yep, a lot of times you see in game seven, you know, a bad penalty ends up deciding the entire series. And
well, last night in Pittsburgh, and I know it wasn't game seven, but there was a bad penalty taken by Evan Rodriguez, mm-hmm, that changed the tenor of the game. And the Rangers, all of a sudden, down 2-0, and you're like, they're going to get beat by a third stringer, and next thing you know, boom, they end up winning the game, taking off and doing that. So your point is valid. By the way, the officials scheduled by the NHL for tonight's game, Chris Lee, Steve Kozari, your linesman Johnny Murray, and Ryan Gibbons. Good to see Johnny Murray back, by the way. Johnny Murray was the official that got run over by the bin in the series accidentally collided with the ice crew. So good to see Johnny back. Johnny's one of the best linesmen in the National Hockey League as well. Your point about him, about Freddie, I get it. This is where he's going to have to learn, and this is where he's going to have to play. And this is where I do think, whether it's one of the assistant coaches that he really trusts, or, you know, that he knows well, that he's worked his ass off with to get better, or it's one of the players who has a little more experience, just to say, do your thing. Do your thing smartly, but just do your thing. You know, don't go looking. Go out there playing. Initiate. Don't chase. Stick on the ice. And by the way, there's a couple of other Bruins that need to keep their stick on the ice and avoid stick fouls, right? We know that. But if you go back to mid-February, when Frederick, Smith were put on the wings with Charlie Coyle, and their first shift and their first game as a line against Ottawa, it was either the 10th or 12th against the Senators. I know it's Ottawa, not Carolina. I get that. They went out, dominated, scored a goal. And then they continued to develop chemistry for the rest of the regular season. Now you hope that Trent Frederick is in a place, after playing in the last game where he played a little over 10 minutes, that he got that out of his system, meaning the nerves, the lights, so to speak, all that stuff. And now you're going into game seven, and you have to bring it. This is where you just bring it. You got two veterans to your right in Coyle and Smith. Lean on them. Learn from them. Go out and do it. I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. But if this is what you think makes your team the best, and I do think that this is what Cassidy does. And again, we're going to find out. I think Butch is talking to the media at three or so, three something. We'll find out. But assuming that this is the lineup, then you got to go out there, show your trust. Show your coach is right to have that trust in you.
Yeah, the lines came out of practice yesterday were the same as we saw in game six. So the expectation would be that there's not going to be any changes. Defensively, Matt Grzelcyk was out in game six.
By the way, 3:15 is when Bruce Cassidy will speak to the media.
Okay, so keep your keep your eyes and ears on social media around then. Matt Grzelcyk sat out game six.
Yeah.
Bruce Cassidy said, you know, he's been playing through some stuff. He has for a lot of the year. He's been playing through some injuries. He talked about, we felt like now was the time to, to give him a rest. I don't think he's been terrific in this series.
No.
Is it really injury related, or is Mike Riley just the better player at this point?
Yes, both. Both. I got a hunch Matt Grzelcyk's going to have a long summer in the sense, no matter what happens, in the sense of he's going to be getting fixed. And what else? He's been dealing with it for a while. And, he's still an amazing skater. And, it's the strength of his game, always has been. And he's a great teammate. I just think that he's battling. He's trying to get through. It hasn't been great for him either. And, yes, Riley, since he came back, and Bob Beers said it, he's been really good. And he has been. Now Riley's one of those players that needs to keep a stick down. He takes high sticking penalties too much because I think he gets – caught up in kind of the heat of the moment and thinking about he may get hit. He's got to just keep it down and not bring his stick up carelessly. I'm not nitpicking here. I'm just telling you, we've talked about it before, Nessa, numerous times. But otherwise, he's been real good. And so it's absolutely, RJ, a combination of Riley's been better in the games that he's been in, and that Grzelcyk has been trying to manage through stuff.
Lindholm came back in game six.
Slightly noticed that.
Yeah. Kind of had a good game.
Kind of.
Had a good game. He missed a chunk of this series, obviously. He missed some time during the regular season after they picked him up in the trade.
Yeah, with the knee injury.
We still haven't, we're still kind of getting to know Hampus Lindholm in a lot of ways and what he brings to the table because of the injuries that he's had and because he's missed significant time both in the regular season and in the postseason. It was good to see him come back in, and in that first game back, they wasted no time, right? It's like, pair him with McAvoy and let those guys ride, and they were terrific.
Well, especially as the home team, if you're going to, control matchups, you can – start with them, right? And if it's not working, you move them up. But right now, those two horses are going to be running together. There's no question about it. He played a game-high 24-48 on 33 shifts. He had two block shots. He had a takeaway. That two-on-one, I'm assuming they're considering that the takeaway, where he was beautiful with his stick. He kept moving back and forth, waiting for the Kane player to make the pass over to Hampus's left, and he eliminated that. And then that was when McAvoy came through and absolutely trucked Aho. It was more of a self-defense, by the way, play than McAvoy turning, because he's turning back up the ice, and there was Aho. But he kept his arm down, and he absolutely crushed him. But anyways, Lindholm was excellent. Lindholm, I had him it was either three or four times where he took the puck from neutral zone through in the O zone and created an opportunity with his carrying of the puck and decision-making. High level of involvement in the Coyle goal where he was on the power play, where he was ended up being from the point, came down the right wing wall, and he brought not one but two. Carolina on the PK is incredibly aggressive, incredibly. He kept waiting, and everybody was kind of thinking, I think in the 3 seconds that he brought the puck down the side, like, move it or shoot it. And meanwhile, he outthought everybody else, and he brought two defenders, one of them being Sebastian Aho, to him. And then he makes a beautiful cross-seam pass over to Pastrnak, whose shot gets blocked, and then it caroms perfectly to Charlie Coyle, who, by the way, was able, as I said earlier in the show, to regain or contain his stance after Aho got him from behind there as he was coming back into the play. So Lindholm was very much involved. He didn't get an assist on that goal, but he did in the eyes of his teammates. It's just beautiful having another guy that can play that much. And it's not just play that much, but play at a high level that much.
617-779-0985. We've got another half hour still to go. We can take more of your calls. We can also check in on the other series that are both completed and also moving to Game 7s. Five Game 7s this weekend, including the Bruins this afternoon at 4:30. We'll talk more about those coming up as well here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on the flagship station of the Boston Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, the show that's all hockey. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe with you here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show in our final half hour. Counting you down to Game 7 today between the Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes. 4 o'clock for the Duncan pregame, 4:30 faceoff. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers will have the call. We will be back here one way or the other next Saturday. Hopefully we are knee-deep in round 2 at that point. But a lot to be decided on that. In fact, we don't even know who the opponent would be yet in round 2.
No.
Right?
Being played out tonight and
tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow,
the Rangers and Pitt. After Pitt, Pitt's had the 2-0 lead in the last couple of games, only to see the Rangers score 3 in a row in each game. Pitt ties it in each game, and then the Rangers win it.
Yeah.
Louis Domingue, oh, man, had it. Well, anyways, sorry.
No, that's, you know what? I mean, listen.
I wonder if Tristan Jarry can play tomorrow. I don't know. I know he's been skating. I wonder if he can play. If he can, I think you have to play him. I just don't think, you know, Louis can be as confident as, you know, he says. Crossing his hands when he catches and everything. And Kreider threw a shot from 50 feet out yesterday, I'd say, give or take. And he just, maybe there's a little bit of a screen, but still it hit his gloves and it bound up and over him and just kind of laid into the net. No, not a good goal.
Has it been just an absolute overabundance of goalie injuries this postseason? It's just, you've got guys playing in this postseason I give Louis Domingue credit. They've made it to Game 7. They've been on the brink. They've lost the last two, but they've been on the brink of winning that series, despite the fact that they're playing with their third string goalie in there. Carolina's been dealing with no Freddie Anderson for the entire first round, you see around the league, these guys have been dropping flies. It's unbelievable.
Jarry and DeSmith, Freddie Anderson. How about UC Saros not being able to play at all?
Right.
I mean, they weren't having much of a chance against Colorado to begin with, even with UC, who was so good. But, yeah, it's been crazy. Injuries galore at the end to goalies.
I mean, you got Colorado got a sweep in their series. Even they, I mean, they had that issue with Kemper taking the stick to the face.
They did. It went near his eye. It was a little sore, but everything's good. He's all right. He's going to be fine for the second round.
All right, let's get back to more of your calls here. On the Bruins, we got Joe and Quincy up first. Hey, Joe.
What's up, guys? Billy, I like that little Bruins chain you had the other night. Ryan, you better go on TV and take over for Edwards. But two quick points. One, do you call up Chris Wagner and drop Frederick because Frederick is just atrocious? And two, this got to be the biggest game of Swayman's career so far. Thanks for hanging up here, guys.
I appreciate the call,
Joe. No question about that for Jeremy. And I know he was asked, you know, it was after games 5, 6. About, you know, he has a very, Jeremy has a very confident, I'm in control way. His reply, you can tell he's gone through positive mental thinking exercises, and I'm not being a smart ass here. I'm saying, you know, you can tell that he has worked on that, whether it was intentional or not. You can tell that he's gone because everything is, yeah, this is it, and this is a great opportunity, and it's a, you know, another game, kind of cliche, but you can tell that he's in the right frame of mind. At least he was the other night. And in theory, you're going to see him smiling behind his mask early on in the game tonight. And I think that that's part of his exercise again to get himself into the right place. And so, but it's absolutely his biggest game. There's no question. He would, you know, over a beverage, I think he would tell you that too. We talked a little bit about lineup. The thing is, if you, it's not that you can't play Wagner on his offside. You can't, and Chris has been very good. I just think Chris is, Wags, I'm thrilled, by the way, to see him back. I love the guy. I think he's better suited for the fourth line role. Now, you could say, well, you're only playing Frederick a certain amount, but there's this chemistry thing. And there's, I guarantee you that the coaches have thought about it. I guarantee you they have. Could they also think of or have thought or thought about moving again Nosek, let's say, up there, and then you put Wagner on the fourth line? But then that, we talked about it with Judd, the fourth line not just scored a goal, but they played well again last game, and they've been pretty darn good all series, albeit Nosek did get benched last time in Carolina. So I got to imagine that there's been discussion about it. I don't remember the caller's name, sorry. I don't think they're going to do it. Butch usually doesn't change much from when the day before in his practice.
Right.
We haven't seen much of that. I mean, again, let's 3:15. We're going to find out.
I think, listen, the series has been, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde, Jekyll and Hydiest of series,
yeah,
perhaps, right?
Yeah.
I think when you get to the end and it's game seven and you've got your entire season on the line. And look, I say this as somebody who, you know, I'm going to watch Trent Frederick the way I watch a horror movie, just kind of peeking through my eyes and or, you know, peeking through my fingers over, yeah, my face, well, at times. But this is pretty much the lineup that you had the most success with this year.
Number,
right?
What,
this,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
this is your, with the exception of, you know, Grizzlick being out today. This is the lineup,
the forward lineup, right?
The,
yeah,
that you rode through those two and a half months where you were one of the best teams in the NHL. I think you go back to dance with the girl you brought to the, you know, yeah, you brought to the dance, or however you want to put that, right? I mean, this is they've gone back to what has worked for them the most this year,
right? And there is always that, there's a sense of comfort with familiarity. Doesn't mean that change isn't good. We know that change is good. But it's funny. This is going to be one of the decisions, if the Bruins lose, that you got to think, you hope it isn't the one that gets scrutinized the most, but it will be one of them that will be looked at. I mean, look, it's easy enough to go back to the top guys, put them all back together at some point if need be, putting Pastrnak back with Bergeron and Marchand. You hope you don't have to go there because that means the other lines are going as well, but you can do that. And as Beersy said too, I mean, if I hope we're not jinxing it, if a guy like Frederick isn't playing well, then you just start playing Marchand more. You start playing Taylor Hall. Remember, Taylor Hall was their best forward in game one in Carolina. Mm. He needs to be good in this game. You know, 5-on-5, Taylor Hall at 5-on-5, goals for, goals against in this series. Taylor, who was excellent in game one, has 2 goals, 4-7 against when he's been on the ice. And some other numbers, too. Carlo 0-5, Smith 1-3, Coyle 0-4, Holla 3-6. He just scored, you know, they were on the ice the other day when he scored a goal. DeBrusque, it's interesting. DeBrusque is at 5-on-5, 0-6, 0-4-6 against when he's on the ice at 5-on-5. And yet, there's been some good games for Jake DeBrusque. Mm-hmm. But I also think the same thing for Charlie Coyle. He's been at times pretty good with certain things, but yet he's, as I said, 0-4 at 5-on-5. So let's see if Freddie and Craig Smith can help elevate that line to some goodness. Let's hope.
Mike is in South Boston. You're up next on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? Mm-hmm. I don't think we can let the show go by without talking about the big obvious choices for guys who stand out and score in game sevens, you know, Bergeron, Marchand's done it. I mean, there's a reason that guys like Bergeron and Crosby, they're so well-renowned. It's, they score in these big games. So it'd be great if Smith could score, but I'm placing my faith in the guy who does it time after time and is my favorite player. So what do you guys have to say about that?
I think it's you know, accurate as heck. Superstars are superstars because of, you know, there's a difference between a star and, as I like to call them, an uber star, right? A superstar, an all-world player. There's a lot of great players. Actually, not that many. There's great players, and then there's all-world. And then, you know, a guy like Bergeron, I don't remember his numbers, but he's pretty good. He's actually more than pretty good. He's great in game sevens. I'll pull it up coming in a moment. And Marchand scored. I mean, by the way, can we just quickly talk about that goal that Marshy scored the other night? I was watching it again. I watched it numerous times. I'm just fascinated. I love these guys that can just shoot with amazing. It's technique. It's release. I slowed it down and watched Brad bring the puck to the middle of the ice just enough, but he was yet still outside, just outside the dot. Mm. He was on that right leg. He's a lefty, so he's loaded on that outside leg, and he absolutely lets it go, and I slowed it down. The torque on his stick is phenomenal. The head positioning is amazing, where he's got, you know, head up, never looks down at the puck, so he doesn't give away to Antti Raanta where he's going to try and shoot it. You know, he doesn't have more than 4 to 6 inches above that left side, above that shoulder glove side over there. And then the release, I mean, the knee bend and the release are just amazing. I got a great buddy of mine, Glenn Tucker, who runs Shoot to Score, and he would look at that and just be like, that is perfection right there. That shot was a BB. That was a bullet, I mean, upstairs. All right, enough of that tangent. But sorry, I just love it. I love that release. I mean, that was – and what I loved even more, by the way, was his celly. It was just, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good. Here's the thing on Patrice Bergeron.
His friends call him Pat.
Yeah, no, I don't think they do. let's see. Where is he? He's playing in his – he has 6 goals in game sevens.
This is –
6 goals.
I think I saw this in Fluto's piece on game seven. Patrice Bergeron has played in more game sevens than any forward in NHL history as of today. Mm-hmm. This is his 13th game seven of his career, and no other forward has ever played in that many.
And isn't he right behind Justin Williams, who has 7 game 7 goals, yeah, I believe? Patrice has been really damn good in this series. Remember when some of the other Bruins were struggling, who was still scoring? Their oldest guy, yeah. You know, he's been great. But no, it's great call, a great comment. I still say Craig Smith saving it for game seven.
Just a side note on Bergeron.
Yeah.
Because every time, you know, the Bruins have come up against elimination game in this series, and we heard, well, could be last game for Patrice Bergeron, right? Could be last home game for Patrice Bergeron on, you know, just the other night. We don't know what the future holds for Patrice Bergeron.
No, we have no idea.
There were some rumors out there this week from Tony Amonte that he could end up in Montreal next year.
Really?
Do you? I'm just asking you this because I know we've had this conversation multiple times on this show this year, and nobody really knows. Could you see Patrice Bergeron playing in another uniform?
No.
I don't believe so. And chief among that, and I never believed it was really possible, but when he scored his 400th goal at the end of the regular season, if you listen to his comments after that game, he was incredibly proud that he had 400 goals all with one organization. He is the quintessential teammate. He is the ultimate guy that you would want on your team. There's no way he abandons that and goes to play somewhere else. I mean, he's got a Stanley Cup on his resume. It's not like he needs to chase it at the end of his career like Ray Bourque or somebody like that. I think he has a tremendous amount of love for this organization and for the guys that are in that room. I could see him deciding to hang it up. Not that I think he should, because the guy's still
right.
You know, he's still had a really good year.
He's winning the Selke.
Certainly capable of playing at a high level in this league this year and next year. But I can't see him ever playing in another uniform. That just it wouldn't make any sense for a lot of different reasons. But I don't feel like he's that kind of player.
No, the difference isn't, you know, he's such a great relationship with Ray Bourque, right? Ray leaves at the end to go get his Stanley
Cup. Well, that
Cup.
Made sense because you want that
understood.
Championship.
That's why I'm making that clear. You know, unless there's some familial reason, right? Some reason to go play in front of family more.
Like a David Krejci, I want to take my kids right. and show right. them the Czech Republic. And
right, and I want to be close to mom, dad, sibling. I don't, you know, both immediate and extended family and friends. But that Montreal team's really not that good.
They're terrible. Right. And oh, by the way, you play up there multiple times a year, right? It's not like you never get to go. They never get to come see you play.
I mean, Montreal's going to get the number one overall pick, and they're going to get the right kid. And that's his name, not the right kid. They're picking what, Shane Wright, according to all draft gurus out there. But there's still a lot of concern about, you know, Shea Weber's done. What's going to happen to Carey Price? I don't know, man. Like, does he want to go up there? And I just can't imagine it either. Maybe you brought up Tony. I don't know what I have. Obviously, Tony must have some information.
He just said heard some rumblings behind the scenes that, you know, he didn't say it's going to happen, but that is, you know, that's on the table at least.
I didn't know. Okay. So I guess that anyway, that's everybody's entitled to their comments. I can't believe that it would. I think the spoke B and what it stands for and the other players that have gone through here, this organization means so much to Patrice. I think of Patrice as this generation Nick Lidstrom, you know, playing so many years with one organization and the pride of that.
It just, I mean, it doesn't happen in professional sports anymore. And I think that means something to a guy like that.
It has to. We know it does. We don't think it does. We know it does. I don't see it happening, but again, I have that one asterisk caveat, unless there's some family reason that, but he's so well established here.
Right, it's not a Chara situation where, you know, the time has come. Them, the team says, you know what, we don't have a spot for you anymore. You know, if you want to keep playing, you got to go and find someplace else to do it. I would assume that one way or the other, if, you know, if Bergeron says, well, I'm interested in playing next year, that the interest would certainly be here in having him back, especially considering what, you know, what your future is at the center position in the immediate aftermath of him leaving, potentially.
We were talking, Razor and I were talking, about the importance of 400 goals to him. And Razor thought it was significant. Mm. And I don't disagree, by the way. Even though it's an individual thing, it's a number. It's a beautiful number, right? Yeah. For a two-way player, it's amazing. But what I find, if that's important, then I said to Razor too, and we talked about it. Well, then get to 1,000 points in a Bruins uniform, and he's 18 away from that regular season points. If you combine his playoffs and his regular season, he is well over 1,000 points. He's 126 points in 166 career games in the NHL playoffs. Not bad. Not bad for a guy that sees a lot of match. I don't see it either, buddy. I don't. No.
Selke finalists, by the way, are going to be announced on Tuesday. So
I'll be shocked if he doesn't win it. Shocked, I'll tell you.
All right, we got about a minute to go.
All right.
Last thoughts before Game 7?
Have fun. Go out, play. The arena, it is going to be loud. It is going to be, when I say a home ice advantage, it's going to be Carolina vibe. Okay, duh. We all know that. Use it as an us against the world thing. You know, all for one, one for all, three musketeer it, right? Go in there and use the energy to actually, the intensity to shut that. Like, if you can shut that down, you'll get more out of it. You will. It'll elevate you even more.
Get the first goal. That's what I was about to say. Get the first goal. And you know what? Because what tends to happen in those games, crowd comes in all fired up. Road team scores the first goal. You feel the entire building kind of tighten up. You get the,
You know, and
no early power. And that's my other hope, too. A, refs, have fun with it, too, guys. Stay on the side.
Stay out of the way.
And secondly, I don't want an early power play for either team. I want five. I want all four lines to get involved. I want go, flow, all that. And I want a Bruins victory. And I'm going to want a couple of beers afterwards. That's what I'm going to want.
One way or the other, I think that's going to happen.
I love this. I absolutely love this. This is unbelievable when you get game seven and you know what? Jam on, baby. Great way to end the show. Way to go, Tuck.
Game 7, 4 o'clock pregame here on 98.5. The Sports Hub, 3:30. You can see Billy over on the TV side on Nesson. Face-off at 4:30. We are back here next week, one way or the other, for the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Have a great Saturday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Right from the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Up. I am here in Gross Dorchester. Gasper, boots on the ground in Milwaukee, covering last night's Game 6 between the Celtics and Bucks for the Boston Globe. We're not waiting for the Sports Up Celtics show. We're getting right into this. You're there, Chris? Hello? Coming to us?
Yes,
via
I'm
Zoom?
Here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Loud and clear. Nice and clear, too.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Are you in a nice fancy hotel, I hope?
Yeah, it's not too bad. You know, they're slacking a little on my breakfast. I had to run back up from the lobby to start the show. I don't know why a breakfast sandwich takes 15 minutes, but yeah, I'll run down and get it for the first break.
Well, these are tough economic times we're living in, as you know, Chris.
That's true.
Understaffed or who's to say? Last night, and I know you wrote about this in the Globe, I mean, I think this is a game in which I believe we can call thus far the definitive performance in Jason Tatum's career. 46 points, lead the Celtics to a 108-95 win over Milwaukee, brings the series.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.